Good afternoon. Our service begins on page 469 of the Red Book of Common Prayer found in the pew rack before you. I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though this body be destroyed, yet shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For if we live, we live unto the Lord, and if we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Even so saith the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. Please be seated. On behalf of the family and friends of William, I welcome you here today. And particularly on behalf of the Trinity Church community. Before we move into the body of our liturgy, the family has asked for the opportunity to offer a few remarks and reminiscences on Bill's behalf.
Hi. We really knew our grandpa really well because we were there a lot. So we thought that we'd do kind of a funny, thoughtful, and fun way to do it would be to do a top 10 list of our favorite memories with him and things that we learned from him. So, and because we're pretty much twins and we're known as the Dokai to some, we decided to do it together. So Mike's going to start it off.
Number 10, the blueberries. They were placed on top of the pancake batter, not in it.
Number 9. Learning to ski with Grandpa was always fun. When we started when we were younger, he used to make us herringbone up the hill in the backyard, which was probably only up to the upper balcony up there, if that. And he told us that this was the proper way because we needed to build up our leg muscles, and otherwise we did not appreciate the modern chairlifts that we have today. And then when we were on the chairlifts, Grandpa and I would always ride it up together, and I kind of had a problem getting off the chairlift, so he used to always have to remind me as it turned around and went back down that at the top of the hill we get off of it, we don't keep riding it around.
Number 8, never tell a story in 5 minutes when you can tell it in an hour.
Number 7, unblessed food will make your stomach ache. The best way to announce grace is to clear your throat in a loud, suggestive manner for the entire room to hear. And the grace that we always use is, in a deep, deep, dramatic voice, is, we pray thee, O Lord, to bless this food and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Number 6. He taught us how to fix a tractor, and then minutes later, how to break a tractor.
Everything has a place in the barn. It just takes a while to find all of it.
Number 4. You always had to mow the lawn in nice straight lines, not the wonderful patterns that would make it look so nice.
Number 3. After we'd mowed the lawn all day and done work on the farm, we used to get the golf clubs out of the chicken coop, and Grandpa would give us golf lessons on the horse pasture. Because there aren't actually horses there anymore, but it's still called that. And we had to make sure that not only did we hit the balls properly under his careful scrutinizing eye, but if we didn't pick up every single ball and never lost a single one, we just had to do that, because you've heard about it.
Number two, sock garters don't only look nice, they are a necessity in your everyday wear.
And number one, Grandpa taught us through example that family is everything. He was always there for everything we did. Sports, concerts, including noticing little things like when I accidentally tossed my bow in the air during the last orchestra concert. He was just ever present and always giving us full support, and he just never gave us anything except 100% of love, and we're going to miss him. So I hope you enjoy. This is, yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Love you, Grandpa.
I'm Al Dowden from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. I've known Bill for almost 60 years. Naturally, we first met at a ski resort, Big Boulder in the Poconos. We were staying at a small bed and breakfast. He was at Drexel, I was going to Penn. Interestingly enough, we didn't realize we had both been in the 10th Division and trained at Camp Hale, Colorado, but we didn't know each other then. For a number of years, we were close and skied a lot together. He was into racing. I was not quite at that league. And I was honored to be an usher at his wedding. Then we kind of separated for a while. I was living in New York for almost 25 years. But we got together in the winter skiing. And a man named Peter Austin, another 10th man from up near Binghamton, New York, although just over in the Pennsylvania line, started the chapter called the Delaware River Valley Chapter. The past president is here. The current president is here today, Pat Thornton. Bill was one of the first presidents after Peter Austin, the founder, and Bill was very instrumental in my being one of the presidents. Perhaps most of all, I'm proud of and thankful to Bill. He was one of the sponsors that I received the Distinguished Service Award of the 10th Mountain Division, the highest award you can receive for the association and post-war work for the association. Bill was also president of the Pennsylvania Ski and Winter Sports Museum, for which I and my friend Alex Bensinger here today were the co-founders. Bill, I will miss him terribly, and I'm thankful to be here today and to say a few words. Thank you.
My name is Tom Morrison. I've known Bill for 57 years. I just want to say a few words about our affiliation with the Philly Ski Club. There are four couples that palled around together ever since we met at the ski club, and I think it was around 1950. There's Bill Bates, who sits there with his wife Charlotte. There's Emmy Klein and Charlotte Van Engen. And we're the only ones left of that group of eight. But it's a pleasure to be here. I shouldn't say a pleasure. It's an honor for us to be here to celebrate Bill's life. When Bill and Charlotte were married, I was the candid photographer who took those wedding pictures. And we have had a great time skiing together at Boulder and all those early days, even the ski slope at Hazard up at Split Rock, which is nothing more than a hill and a little run out. But we had great times together, and Bill and I and all of us had a great time together in our parties and New Year's Eve parties and so forth, and we will miss him. I've had lunch with Bill many times at the Old Mill, and I'm going to miss that. Thank you.
Our opening hymn is number 618 in the blue hymnal in your pew rack, Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones. Please stand and join in this opening hymn. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose mercies cannot be numbered, accept our prayers on behalf of thy servant William, and grant him an entrance into the land of light and joy in the fellowship of thy saints. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end.
Please rise for our gradual hymn, found in your worship leaflet, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Please be seated.
all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Our sequence is Psalm 23, the King James Version, found on page 476 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. We'll offer it together in unison. Page 476. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Very truly I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the one holy and undivided Trinity. Amen. Please be seated. Two grandsons this day have offered their testimony on behalf of their grandfather, the paterfamilias of this erstwhile clan. And each of those readings testifies to a circle, a completion of a cycle. And I think it is particularly appropriate and fitting today that we stand in Trinity Church in Solbury when so many years ago, in 1924, Bill was baptized a Trinitarian at Trinity Church. Very fitting indeed. I think it is also fitting as well that We should be gathering not just as a congregation, but as family and friends and as colleagues, as co-workers, as comrades in arms, and as those who have given their lives over to mutual service and to care of their fellow human beings. I was trying to think of things I could say about Bill, and I actually hope I can get through this without tearing up myself. Bill was one of those people that I first met when I arrived here at Trinity who struck me immediately as a character, in the best sense of the word. I cannot close my eyes and not see him in gray trousers, blue blazer, regimental tie, a lapel pin of some ornate construction and significance upon his breast, and a certain bearing that indicated that he carried within him a soldier, a servant, a teacher, and a friend. That's not to say it was always pleasant to be around Bill. Sometimes it could be quite difficult, and sometimes it could be quite awkward. One story I will tell, and perhaps this gives an inkling into the last few chapters of his own journey that I was able to share with him, was that he was in the hospital being treated for one of the latest bouts with his leukemia, and he had already met my wife and I and was quite taken with Laura and had kissed her on the cheek and been quite effusive in his affection. And I accused him lightly and humorously, I thought, of flirting with my spouse. The valiance of this gentleman was such that the next time he and I met socially, which was at a men's breakfast, almost 5 months hence, he walked rather stiffly up to me and offered a heartfelt and formal apology that if he had been inappropriate with my spouse, he was most apologetic and sorry. And I said, "Bill, you've got to be kidding." First off, I would never accuse you of anything. And secondly, I think Laura is as taken with you as you are with her. So don't worry about it. And then came the soft side. Humor. Grace. I very seldom use superlatives in sermons when I preach at a funeral because I don't think it's fitting. I don't believe in eulogies at this point. The good words have already been shared earlier today at the interment, at bedside as he lay dying, among friends and family as they share their own reminiscences. What has been said has been good, and we have honored Bill's name. But I will use this word again. Valiant. Valiant because as I close my eyes and think of this gentleman, I think of him as a soldier in the 10th Mountain. I think of him as a volunteer fireman. I think of him teaching and laboring to teach children and grandchildren and anyone he came in contact with how to be a better person. Not just by trying to instill in them talent and skill, but by offering them the testimony and the gift of his person. This is the key to a sacramental life. There is no greater love than this, that one should lay down one's life for one's friends. There is no hesitation in me to assume that this was his credo. As prickly as he could get, as ornery as he could get, he would quite honestly give you the shirt off his back if it meant your warmth and your comfort. I think it's because for all those years as an Episcopalian, he actually bothered to listen. I know this because upon several occasions as I stood in the narthex greeting people, shaking their hands, wishing them a good day, having them walk up to me and say, "Good sermon," and then walk on. He'd be there somewhere towards the back, waiting. "Could I talk to you for a minute?" and we would. And it was always cogent. And sometimes we even agreed. But only just often enough for us to remind each other that we honored each other as friends, as companions, as comrades. I am only a child compared to his weight in years, so I wouldn't even presume to be called a peer. But he had the kind of personality that elevated you so that you felt you were alongside and never quite behind. Life is a grand circle. We stand here in testimony and in witness to a man who lived that circle with gusto and with grace, and who took everything to heart. Now that we've blown this bubble up pretty big, and even Bill would be blushing at this point, I'll pop that balloon, because I'll also give another piece of who he was. He agonized over doing the right thing, sometimes to a fault. One of the last times he and I were together alone, he was in a hospital room at Abingdon Hospital, and God love the student nurse that was torturing him with needles, trying to get a vein. And he was doing everything he could to support her in her efforts. And she left, and he turned to me and said, "You know, I never should have sold that land." And I went, "What land?" And he told me this story. How many years? 20. Some years ago, he sold a parcel of land that he's regretted ever since. But he says, "You know, that's all water under the bridge. 2, 3, 4. But I never should have sold that land." I think that's the backdraft on valiance in life. Because he felt everything. And by the grace of God, he is enwrapped in a kingdom, in a place, and in an intimacy with his Creator, that in feeling everything, he does not know regret. He does not know loss. He does not know anything else other than grace and love and hope and joy and light. Your own imaginations will populate his heaven, fill it with activities and structures and tasks and chores. I'm sure God was rejoicing to see him arrive and say, "The tractor's in the barn and the backyard needs mowing." But at the end of days, I am convinced that this one soldier and friend will be scouting a path for all of us into grace and into the light of God. Amen. My brothers and sisters, in the hope of the resurrection, let us stand and offer together the Apostles' Creed, found on page 66 of the Book of Common Prayer, and affirm our faith in these words. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, who has knit together thine elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of thy Son, Christ our Lord, grant, we beseech thee, to thy whole church in paradise and on earth, thy light and thy peace.
Amen.
Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and that through the grave and gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection.
Amen.
Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage, and who walk as yet by faith, that thy Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days.
Amen.
Grant to thy faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve thee with a quiet mind.
Amen.
Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in thy fatherly care, and that casting all their grief on thee, they may know the consolation of thy love.
Amen.
Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved, that they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a reasonable and holy hope, in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love.
Amen.
Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting.
Amen.
Grant us grace to entrust Bill to thy never-failing love. Receive him into the arms of thy mercy, and remember him according to the favor which thou bearest unto thy people.
Amen.
Grant that increasing in knowledge and love of thee, he may go from strength to strength in the life of perfect service in thy heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
Grant us, with all who have died in the hope of the resurrection, to have our consummation and bliss in thy eternal and everlasting glory, and with the ever-blessed Virgin Mary and all thy saints, to receive the crown of life which thou dost promise to all who share in the victory of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 688, found in the blue hymnal.
Thank you.
May God be with you. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we pray that you do set thy passion, cross, and death between thy judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of our death. Give mercy and grace to the living, pardon and rest to the dead, to thy holy church peace and concord, and to us sinners everlasting life and glory, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit livest and reignest, one God, now and forever. Amen. Into thy hands, O merciful Savior, we commend thy servant William. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech thee, a sheep of thine own fold, a lamb of thine own flock, a sinner of thine own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of thy mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Thank you for your attendance this afternoon. Please join us in the chapel for a repast. And on behalf of the family in Charlotte, please do join us, and we may welcome you and recognize you and celebrate Bill's life. You can follow us out once the prelude is finished. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.